everyone. This is our system here is a cooperative effort. We're not all in the same room, or for that matter, in the same state. Hello to everyone. My name is Geraldine Scapleton. I want to welcome you to the Peace Alliance's third call on its Call to Calm series this summer, because in this tumultuous election cycle, everyone at the Peace Alliance is calling on everyone, especially those dedicated to work for more peace and peace building, to calmly embrace and address the conflicts that are arising this year. You will be hearing from several facilitators on this call, several members of the National Department of Peace Building Committee, which formed on March 2011. Dan Kahn, our National Field Director, who is working the calls dashboard and who will be facilitating the question and answer period after our guest speaker. Matthew Albright, Managing Director, and Judy Kimball, who is Chair of the Peace Alliance Board of Directors, may also interject throughout the call. Briefly, I became involved with the Peace Alliance in 2005 after hearing Marianne Williamson speak about the Department of Peace and Nonviolent Bill, as it was called then. I shortly became a district lead and then went on to become a California State Coordinator of Southern California, which is my current position. As we continue to advocate for legislation and policies that will bring forth a culture of peace or calm, we are calling upon to remember to be the change that we wish to see in the world. And tonight we'll focus on celebrating the 15th anniversary of the Department of Peace legislation. Nancy Merritt of the National Department of Peace Building Committee will give us more information on the legislation in a couple of minutes. Our guest speaker tonight is Rita Marie Johnson, who is a longtime advocate and who has worked on to actualize the Department of Peace and Justice in Costa Rica. And we will also apply her learnings to our moving forward with a Department of Peace building in the U.S. Rita Marie is just now finishing a 5-day intensive seminar, so our agenda will flex around the time that she is able to join our call, which will likely be between 5:15 and 5:30 Pacific time. We've reserved 35 minutes for the call for Rita Marie's presentation and Q&A. And if more discussion or information is desired in that discussion on or about the U.S. Department of Peacebuilding legislation or campaign, we may extend the call up to 15 minutes longer and hope many of you can stay with us. So right now I would like to introduce our star California coordinator, Nancy Merritt.
Well, hello. Thank you, everyone. Can you hear me? Am I on?
Yes,
hello. I can.
Okay. Well, as Geraldine said, I'm with the California Peace Alliance. I've been involved with the National Peace Alliance since 2004. I've been one of our California state coordinators since 2006 and been on the National Department of Peace Building Committee since 2011. I'm going to talk a little bit about the history and status of the Department of Peacebuilding legislation and our efforts to make that the policy of our country. The Department of Peacebuilding bill was introduced on 7/11/2001, which was exactly 2 months before 9/11. Congressman Dennis Kucinich introduced it, and it was the first legislation in our history to combine domestic and international peace efforts, recognizing that there are commonalities in all types of violence. Before that, there had been bills introduced throughout the history of our country, and most of those focused on creating peace in the international realm. When Dennis Kucinich introduced it in 2001, Congresswoman Barbara Lee of California helped write the initial legislation, and that's important. We'll tell you why in a minute. The mission of the Department of Peace Building legislation, or the department, is to cultivate peace and peace building as a strategic national policy objective and to develop policies that promote national and international conflict prevention, nonviolence intervention, mediation, peaceful conflict resolution, and structured conflict mediation. We'll talk a little bit later on the call, if we have time, about the actual structure of the Department of Peace building, and I think Deborah Paz from our group will mention some things along that line. The Peace Alliance actually formed in 2003-2004 to support passage of this legislation. And since, I just wanted to take a minute to think about the fact that since 2001 there have been millions of deaths and interrupted lives and refugees and lots of hurt with many people throughout the world. So can you imagine how different it would have been if we had had that department starting in 2001 or 2002, and to think about how different the world will be when we pass this in who knows when, but hopefully in the near future. In addition to the violence since 2001, there have also been strides in the art and science of peace building, and that's partly what this bill is about, is to apply those, to apply what we've learned to our world. So Dennis Kucinich introduced the bill in every Congress from 2001 until the end of 2012, when he was about to leave Congress. In mid-2012, when it became apparent he wouldn't be returning to Congress, the California Department of Peace Building folks began asking Barbara Lee if she would sponsor the 2013 legislation. She agreed to do that, and she also agreed to incorporate numerous of our suggestions into the new bill. And these were suggestions and ideas we had learned from nearly 10 years of advocating for this bill. So one of the main things was we changed the title to Peace Building, Department of Peace Building, instead of Department of Peace, as a more proactive approach. And we emphasized collaborating with some of the entities in the other bills who were sort of not happy with being brought under Department of Peace Building, like USIP and Peace Corps. Some of those we said, it doesn't matter if they're in the department, we'll collaborate with you. So those were a couple of the major changes. For the 2013 and 2015 sessions of Congress, we helped rewrite the bill, we helped get initial co-sponsors, and we helped add more co-sponsors. We'll be doing the same thing for the upcoming 115th session starting next year. Currently, we have 39 co-sponsors, and at its peak in 2009-2010, we had 71 co-sponsors. So we always have, you know, a lot to do in that area. Then over the years, we've been working in other ways to get Department of Peace Building language and policies into our government. One thing we've done in California is in 2012, 2014, and 2016, we got a lot of the language from the actual bill, Department of Peace Building bill, and ideas from that bill into the California Democratic Party platform. This year, we've also worked this pretty much throughout this year and up until now to get peace building language into the National Democratic Party platform. The last public draft showed that we did get a lot of language in there, and even the word peace building. So we'll see what happens, you know, at the end of the convention when they finally vote on the final draft, but hopefully it will still keep those changes. We even have a couple folks on the call and some friends and throughout the states who will be at the convention and advocating for peace building at the convention. The kinds of lobbying things we've done are we've had a lot of actions throughout the years to get new co-sponsors. One is we call our Season for Nonviolence Action, where during that time, which is the first January 30th to March 4th of every year, we work intensively calling and visiting Congress people to try to get them to come back, to come on to the bill. And this has resulted in a lot of co-sponsors. The California Democratic Party endorses this, endorses the actual legislation as one of its five main pieces of federal legislation. We've lobbied in Washington, D.C. Many times over the years, and we've done a lot of in-district lobbying and what we call Mother's Day Pie meetings, which Mother's Day Pie was called for a day of peace by Julia Ward Howe. And so we meet with our Congress people saying we want a piece of the federal budget pie to go toward peace building. There are a million other things I could talk about, but I want to yield my time and let other people talk. That's sort of good wrap-up
okay.
for the national.
This is Geraldine, your facilitator, trying to keep us on time. I have been told that Rita Marie is on the call, but I wanted to go briefly Ann Kreeter is on the call, and she wanted to talk on the Global Alliance for Ministries and Infrastructures of Peace. So, Ann, if we could briefly do that, and then we can move right into our introduction for Rita Marie.
Okay, fine. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me now? Great. Hi, this is Ann Kreeter, and I've been involved with the Peace Alliance from the beginning as a district congressional leader and as a state coordinator and on the board, and also with the Global Alliance for Ministries and Infrastructures for Peace, which is what I want to just briefly say a few words about right now. The Peace Alliance is connected with this international organization that's been in existence for over 10 years now that promotes departments of peace internationally. We call it, the logo for it is GAMIP. And their website is GAMIP.org, which we urge you to explore. And right now, there are 50 countries that are represented in this organization, with six countries that actually have operational governmental peace infrastructures. And I know you want to know what those six countries are, so I will tell you. They are Costa Rica, Nepal, Papua New Guinea, Solomon Islands, South Sudan, and East Timor. Am I breaking up? I'm hearing static.
Just a little bit. Go ahead.
Okay. GAMIP has had six international summits starting in 2005. The first one was in London. 2006 in Canada was when I first got involved with GAMIP as a U.S. representative and also as the U.N. liaison. In 2007, I went to Japan, and in 2009 to Costa Rica when I met, I knew Rita Marie before, but at the time she hosted this conference with amazing grace and great skill, and she's been a pioneer with GAMIP for quite a long time. Then I had to skip the South Africa summit in 2011, but was back in 2013 at the last one that's been held in Switzerland. And the reason why I'm telling you this is that through my UN NGO status, I helped initiate a project which began at the Canada summit with the ambitious goal of getting the UN General Assembly to pass a resolution encouraging member states to have departments of peace worldwide. Through various iterations, At later summits that I attended, the project evolved to when at the Switzerland summit, it really took hold. That was when Gamut partnered with another organization called PeaceNow.com, which I urge you to check out, who advanced the project to new levels with an electronic online petition gathering 1 billion signatures globally, at least that's the intention, to present to the UN urging passage of the resolution, which has even been endorsed by Nancy and Geraldine's and Kendra's California Democratic Party. So please visit the website to sign the petition and check out the accompanying award-winning 20-minute peace film called Admissions that promotes the whole initiative.
So Thank you very much, and I really appreciate everything, but my job to keep us on time, I'd like to introduce Pat Simon of our National Department of Peacebuilding Committee, who will introduce Rita Marie and Johnson. And after Rita Marie has completed her presentation, she will open it up for question and answers that Dan Kahn, our field director, National Field Director, will instruct us on how to raise our hand and to call on people to speak, you know, by name. So take it away, Pat. Is she there?
Can't you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, Pat.
Okay. I'm from the Massachusetts Campaign for Department of Peace since 2004 and a Peace Alliance state coordinator. I'm so privileged to introduce amazing peace builder Rita Marie Johnson. After moving to Costa Rica in 1993, Rita Marie looked for a method of social-emotional learning that could prevent violence in schools. She realized that empathy is best attained through conscious connection to feelings and needs. Synergy between empathy and insight increases social and emotional intelligence and eliminates unnecessary suffering. This epiphany resulted in her development of the connection practice, which she later offered in public schools. Bullying, intolerance, conflict, violence, misconduct reports all decreased. In 2010, she taught her connection practice in the UN University of Peace, a graduate school for international leaders. She founded the RAISER Foundation International, a non-governmental organization with headquarters in Costa Rica, whose mission is to inspire, facilitate, and educate toward a culture of peace in Costa Rica. As CEO, she initiated a bill in the Costa Rica Legislative Assembly for a Ministry of Peace, which passed in 2009. So the earlier Ministry of Justice was modified to Ministry of Justice and Peace. With this change in name, the concept of prevention of violence has been surpassed with promotion of peace to benefit from international experiences which demonstrate that a culture of peace has positive effects in reduction of violence and crime. She is the author of the book Completely Connected, Uniting Our Empathy and Insight for Extraordinary Results. It was endorsed by President Oscar Arias, Nobel Peace Prize laureate. In 2016, this book won a Nautilus Award in Psychology. I give you Rita Marie Johnson.
Thank you, Pat. Well, I'm so honored to join this call, and I got on earlier and got to hear the history again. It really caused me to reminisce and to hear Anne's voice and to just celebrate the achievements of GAMIP. So it's just such a pleasure to be here with all of you. So I've been asked to talk a little bit about how we went about establishing the Ministry of Justice and Peace in Costa Rica. And it all started, actually, when I heard Marianne Williamson speak about the efforts that people were making to establish a U.S. Department of Peace. I heard her speak at a conference, and after her speech, I talked with her, and she asked me to try to get President Oscar Arias to support the national effort in the United States. So I think most of you know that President Oscar Arias is a Nobel Peace Prize laureate, and he had served as president of Costa Rica in the past, and he had recently been elected for another term. So I told Marianne that I would see what I could do to talk with President Arias, And after I got home to Costa Rica, I thought about the concept of ministries and departments for peace in relationship to Costa Rica, this peaceful little country, only country in the world with no army and no arrangement for defense with another country. So in thinking about that, I realized, wow, creating a ministry for peace in Costa Rica would really help to ensure that the national identity with peace would continue and also be strengthened. So I thought it was such a fitting infrastructure for Costa Rica. So I had a good friend and partner, really, in my work there in Costa Rica, Alexandra Kissling. I talked with Alexandra about this idea, and she then guided me to the people in Costa Rica that I should talk to about it. And so I talked to quite a few different people, Costa Rican experts on law and peace education, and just influential Costa Ricans. And this is where I really had to use the Be Peace practice that I had developed in order to really hear each person and to give them empathy for their needs, to really get connected to them and understand their personal view and also better understand the cultural view. So most of you have heard about the Be Peace practice. You may have heard it called different things. At that time in Costa Rica, we called it Ser Paz, which means to be peace. And in English, we were just calling it Be Peace. Now we only use Be Peace in faith-based communities in the United States, and we use a secular brand called the Connection Practice to go into schools and nonprofits and businesses here in the United States. So just for clarity around the name, when I refer to it in this talk, I'll call it Be Peace, the English name that is translated from the Spanish in Costa Rica. So in these important conversations with Costa Ricans, I really had to stay calm. You know, I had to get myself out of the way because, for one thing, here I am an American, you know, asking about making a change in their country. And so I really needed to keep my own perspective out of the way and just really hear them. And so in order to do that, one of the things that I practice is called heart-brain coherence. I'm sure many of you know about that as well. It's a part of the Be Peace practice. And so it helped me to really stay calm and open and in my more intelligent state, you could say. Coherence always helps us to get that brain and heart working together so that we can access our intuition and really be tuned into people at the highest level. And I also needed to listen empathically so as they talk that I could really get under what they were saying, to guess their feelings and the needs, that met needs or unmet needs by this proposal that I wanted to make. So I found in general that Costa Ricans didn't want more bureaucracy, but they did really want to ensure peace in their country. Peace for each of the people that I talked to was a huge need because they were really concerned about growing violence in Costa Rica. And while they really wanted to hold on to that national peace identity, they did not want more and more and more government. They really needed efficiency and economy in their government. So after listening to them, I realized I needed to figure out how to propose something that would meet those needs, the need for peace and efficiency and economy. And so one day, actually when I was practicing heart-brain coherence, an insight came to me, and it was that we could create a ministry for peace that would be a part of the Ministry of Justice. At that time, this Ministry of Justice, this branch of the government, was called the Ministry of Justice and Grace. But grace wasn't a separate department. It was just a word that they felt was important that reflects the spiritual orientation of the country. But it wasn't a department. As I said, there was nothing active about that part of the name. And so I wrote a proposal to change the name to the Ministry of Justice and Peace. And in that proposal was the idea or the condition that a true Department of Peace would be developed that would work on peace promotion. And as you said in the introduction, that would move from prevention of violence to promotion of peace. So I presented my proposal to the board of the Costa Rican nonprofit that I had founded, and it's called the Razur Foundation. And the members voted to proceed with this proposal. And so my partner, Alexander Kissling, is an influential Costa Rican. That helped immeasurably. I never could have accomplished this work alone. I mean, it took especially Alexandra, but my board behind this initiative. And so Alexandra knew Rodrigo Arias, who's the brother of Oscar Arias, and at that time Rodrigo was minister of the presidency. So when Alexandra and I met with Rodrigo, he liked the idea, and he suggested a second meeting with the Minister of Justice, Laura Chinchilla, and the Minister of Education, Leonardo Garnier. And so we had a meeting with them, and at our second meeting there, they all agreed it was a wonderful idea to develop a ministry for peace. They were all excited about it. So they presented my proposal then to President Oscar Arias, and he agreed to support it. So at that time, then, an official in the Ministry of Justice was assigned to write the bill, and my job was to review it when they had finished writing it. So I reviewed it, but also Alexander reviewed it. Like I said, I wasn't alone in this. And when I saw what had been written, I was very happy with the way they had drafted the bill. And I added just one other thing, and that was that I wanted the Ministry for Peace to coordinate a network of nonprofits working for peace in Costa Rica. I didn't want there to be, the government on one hand doing things, and then these nonprofits over here also working for peace, but, you know, like the hand didn't know what the foot was doing kind of thing. So we added a statement about the Ministry for Peace being responsible to coordinate the work of nonprofits for peace together with their work. We'd actually already initiated a network of nonprofits. It was called Red de Paz, but we wanted the government to actually take over administration of this network and keep it alive and have regular meetings and so on. So they were happy to include that in the bill. And then we had to work hard to get it introduced in 2006. Excuse me, just a minute. I want to take a drink of water. Excuse me. It is, dry here in California compared to Costa Rica. My body's still getting used to it, so when I talk, sometimes I get a dry throat. All right, so as I was saying, we had to work hard to get the bill introduced in 2006 because the issues in the Legislative Assembly were huge at that time over the free trade agreement, and it was just incredibly hard to get on the agenda. But after finally getting the bill introduced, then our next task was to get it passed. So we talked to lots of congressmen. Alexandra talked to most of them because she had the Costa Rican connection. And I had a director of my Academy for Peace at that time, Maribel Munoz, who also met with congressmen. And we came to realize that we had good support except from one congressman who was against it. But he was open to meeting with Alexandra to learn more about this bill. And so Alexandra and I got together to meet prior to her meeting with him, and we really talked about her embodying the Be Peace practice in this upcoming meeting. And so she went to this meeting with him prepared to stay in heart-brain coherence, to stay calm and be in her most intelligent state of mind, and also be very aware and prepared to give this congressman empathy for his needs, to really tune in to his concerns and to guess his feelings and needs. So she was successful in the talk she had with him. She somehow opened his heart, and he agreed to vote for the bill. So then still the agenda was so crowded that there was a good chance we weren't going to get in. After all this work since 2006, it was now 2009, early 2009, and we thought, you know, all could be lost because of just not being able to get on the agenda. But some really fortunate timing saved us. I had been active in the global organization that Anne was just talking about that's now called GAMIP. And so I was asked by the Costa Rican Minister of Justice, Laura Chinchilla, who I mentioned earlier, I was asked by Laura to represent Costa Rica at the Global Summit of Ministries and Departments for Peace in Japan in 2007. And Anne, if you remember, while I was there, I proposed that Costa Rica be the site of the summit in 2009. And so the membership of Ministries and Departments for Peace at that time voted on it and chose Costa Rica for the summit in 2009. So when I went back to Costa Rica with that information that that we were wanting Costa Rica to sponsor the summit in 2009, I asked Laura Chinchilla if the government would really get behind this and would essentially sponsor this summit, because a government had never before sponsored one of our global summits. And so they did agree to do that as long as my foundation, the Razor Foundation, would facilitate this. So we entered into a partnership to produce this global summit, and it was scheduled for September 2009. Well, in July 2009, we still had not been able to get our bill on the agenda. However, the leaders of the government, the Minister of Justice, Laura Chinchilla, and Rodrigo Arias, and President Arias, were all aware that they were sponsoring this global summit. And, you know, I'm sure that there was a little pressure there. They didn't want to be embarrassed that their own Ministry for Peace bill hadn't been passed by the time this summit came along. So as a result of that wonderful timing, the bill was finally put on the agenda in August, and it passed unanimously on August 19th, 2009. So the summit took place a month later, and then Costa Rica was able to you know, announce that their bill had passed and to celebrate it. And President Arias spoke at the Global Summit and laid out his vision for the Ministry for Peace. And when his term was over, the national newspaper listed his three greatest achievements of his second term, and they listed the Ministry of Peace as one of his three greatest achievements. So now the Ministry for Peace has different offices, and I'd like to share just a little bit about what those are. One is called DINAROC, and that's an acronym, and essentially stands for a system of Casas de Justicia, which translated means houses of justice. And this system is a mediation system, a national mediation system that helps to keep people out of court. And then there's another office called CEP, and that office handles national events and movie ratings. So they rate movies so that parents will have an idea, you know, of what's appropriate for children. And so some of the national events that they sponsor are about peace. For example, they have an annual event to celebrate the army being abolished. It was abolished in 1948, and so it's a tradition in Costa Rica to celebrate that. And also, they sponsor the Season for Nonviolence. That Season for Nonviolence was introduced by Unity of Costa Rica, and it was so successful the government took it over and has continued to celebrate it. And that office also handles the celebration of the International Day of Peace, which was originally proposed by President Rodrigo Corazo of Costa Rica, who was a dear, dear man. And President Corazo set the day to be the opening day of the UN Assembly each year, and later the UK and Costa Rica proposed changing it to September 21st, and so all of you know that's when we celebrate it now. Then there's another office that's called DigiPaz, and that's the Office of Peace Promotion. And what they also call now Convivencia. Convivencia literally translated means coexistence, but it has a deeper meaning to Costa Ricans. It means living together in harmony. You know, it has a feeling tone to it. Coexistence just kind of sounds like tolerating each other, but it doesn't mean that to Costa Ricans. So they are using that term a lot these days. This DigiPaz is the Office of Peace Promotion and Convivencia. So lastly, they've established in the ministry now something called a network of communities coexisting without fear. Isn't that a wonderful title? Network of Communities Coexisting Without Fear. So they have expanded the Ministry for Peace since it was established in 2009, and they're truly working for peace. And I was very happy when I went to their website recently, preparing for this talk, to see the recent advancements. Now, I had hoped that the Ministry for Peace would be in charge of the Be Peace program that we had established in public schools. However, I had initiated that program through the Ministry of Education, so it stayed there. And in that program, we trained over 1,500 teachers. Most of the teachers actually went through a 40-hour course on paid time. That was so remarkable. I just can't ever stop celebrating that. So each year, those teachers have been teaching more students. The Costa Rican teachers love the practice. We got just wonderful feedback from them in terms of the importance of what they learned. And so now we're estimating that they've impacted about 100,000 students, but we have no way to know. There's no way for us to really follow up and know just how many students have been reached and are continuing to be reached. But I'm just grateful that I had the support of two Costa Rican presidents in having the Be Peace program in the schools. First, President Arias, and then the Minister of Justice, Laura Chinchilla, that I've mentioned several times. She was elected as the first woman president of Costa Rica after Oscar Arias' term ended. And her administration also supported the Be Peace program in the schools. So we had a solid run of 8 years of support from these two Costa Rican presidents. But in 2014, a different political party came in, and I did meet and demonstrate the Be Peace practice to the new Minister of Education, but she was not willing to continue the program because basically they were, you know, starting over, just kind of wanted to wipe things clean and do their own thing. And so it has not been continued now in the public schools except by the teachers that have already learned it. And so because of that that sense of a closed door, I just, you know, interpreted that as a time to come and focus on my own country. And so now headquarters for Rosura Foundation International are in Gilroy, California, which is just a little south of San Jose. And we are focusing on reaching at-risk children and youth in the United States. You know, we have close to 150 trainers now who are working mostly in the United States, but still in Costa Rica and in Japan and New Zealand and some other countries. So we're excited about the momentum that we have right now. We're just having breakthroughs almost on a weekly basis of some kind or another. One of our trainers got a $115,000 grant to do a pilot project in Puerto Rico in just one school. So she's going to be finishing up, actually, that pilot right now and will be funded for the next year. So we've got some exciting things happening. And at the same time, I just want to express my gratitude to those who are really working hard in their countries on the Ministry of Peace or Department of Peace idea. I'm so grateful that that is continuing on. I wish I had you know, the ability to fully engage in that myself, but I'm spread a bit thin. Let's just put it that way. So I don't have the ability to engage like I was at one time in that particular effort, but I support it with my whole heart. So now I'd like to pause for questions.
That's what I was going to ask, if you would like to do that at this point. And, of course, thank you very, very much for being with us on this call. Dan, would you like to start facilitating questions, please?
Sure, Geraldine, thank you. And thank you, Ms. Johnson. That was really wonderful and inspiring. So anybody who has a question, feel free to just press 1 on your phone keypad, and that will be that will raise your hand. So if you just go ahead and press 1, then I can call on you and unmute you. And I see the first hand's going up, and it is Nancy Merritt. Go ahead, Nancy.
Hi, Rita, Marie. Thank you so much for that really good. I have never heard the whole history of the development of the department, so thank you for that. I was curious, I had two things. What was the objection of the one person who was holding out, the one congressperson who was holding out? What were his concerns? And what is the website? How can we find out what the current state of that department is in Costa Rica?
Mm-hmm. Okay. In answer to your first question, you know, he said that it was too much government, you know, that he just didn't see how we could do it without creating more cost and more government, and that he just, you know, thought it was just a waste of money. But I think that underneath it, you know, he was from the other political party that, you know, that wasn't in. and so there was just so much polarity going on between the two major parties at that time that, you know, since President Arias was known as being a Nobel Peace Prize laureate, and I'm sure that this congressman knew that if the bill passed that it would be like another feather in the cap for President Arias, which it was. And so I think that, you know, he was just really wanting to be seen and to be heard and to be considered as significant, you know, as a valuable input. And that once that happened, then I think that those other motivations just melted away when he felt so valued and heard, and that his objection about money, I mean, I'm sure Alexandra addressed it a little bit, but the truth is she didn't know, you know, how what the budget was going to be or how much, you know, they were going to delegate to it or anything like that. Nothing had been decided about that, so she really couldn't address it. I think it was just that he just needed to feel like he was an important part of the peace process, and not, you know, that not all of the peace consciousness was coming from the other political party. And then, oh, you asked about the website. You know, I just was at it. All you have to do is just Google Ministerio. You got that, Ministerio. let me just make sure I've got it right here. Ministerio, yeah, de Justicia y Paz. Ministerio de Justicia y Paz. Justicia is J-U-S-T-I-C-I-A y Paz, P-A-Z.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Rita Marie, we're waiting for other folks to raise their hands. Oh, we've got a hand up. I've got a question I can ask also for other folks who are getting ready. But just so you know, feel free to press 1 on your keypad if you have a question. And I'm calling on Lynn Ellis. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Dan. I just wanted to say hello to all my friends at the Peace Alliance. I miss you all. And hello to Rita Marie. I just wanted to say in these times, these troubling times that we're living in this country especially, my involvement over the years with the Peace Alliance and then with the Be Peace practice, it's just been amazing to call on those heart coherent skills to keep me calm. And so I really just wanted to say thank you for that experience. And just I love you all. I miss you, and I would love to see you all at some point. And also, I just want to say, I don't know if you can see my picture. Some of you can on the website. But that picture was taken last year in Costa Rica. I had the opportunity, thanks to Rita Marie, to visit that beautiful country and stay at Casa Resort. And that was also a life-changing experience. So basically, I just wanted to give you my gratitude and my love.
Thank you, Lynn. It's wonderful to hear your voice. And, I just appreciate you, too, the years of our connection.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's great to hear your voice on my part, too, Lynn.
Thank you, Dan.
I see a question. Yeah. I see a question from Kendra. Kendra Mon, go ahead.
Hi. I just would really appreciate any further advice that you could give to us in this campaign and here in the U.S. I know you've said so much about being the peace in discussing it with those that we want to influence, but that was really helpful to hear that the idea of also including them as an important part of the process, and I need to work on that. But anything more you could say would be very helpful.
Well, you know, Kendra, I just have found in doing this work for, it's been over 12 years now that I've been teaching Be Peace, or what we now call the connection practice in the secular world. And I just find that, the majority of us really do need training in it in order to be the change, that we really do need to have that skill in order to be effective change agents. Because, you know, we can want to change, we can have all these beautiful ideals, but, you know, it takes practice. It really does take practice to attain these skills. And that's not to say that we can't get better at them quickly. We can. I've seen some remarkable things where people learned practically overnight and had effectiveness in their lives and major changes just by learning a little bit. But I guess what I'm saying is these days I just want to educate, because if we try to make changes when we really can't yet embody peace, let's say the majority of the time in our lives, if we're not at peace and are able to embody peace the majority of time, then we're not going to be effective in making a change. So I just am continually impressed by how important it is to master these skills. I just actually taught a course. I just finished it at 5 o'clock today here in California. And we certified 10 more trainers. And the way that these people have grown in their ability to relate, to connect, to hear and be heard, I just want to get it to the world, you know, because in order to talk to these Congress people, to talk in any arena to our corporate people, because we need money behind these things, that all of it really does require this skill. And when we have the skill, wow, those doors fly open so much easier. Mm-hmm. I just continue to be, I'm always in awe of it. I've been teaching it 12 years. I still go, oh, my God, look at that. That's what I just have to contribute is, if you haven't achieved that skill to some degree to get to courses that teach it to you. And I'm not saying, you know, I never say that that Be Peace or the Connection Practice is the only way. Certainly not. There's many ways to gain these skills, but it does need to be a skill, not just thinking about it, you know, or thinking I can do it, but in the moment being able to do it. And it has to be simple enough and efficient enough and powerful enough that we can do it in the moment. So to me, it's all about getting more and more trainers and courses, whether it's in B-Peace or whatever skill, and NVC, heart math, it's all moving us in that direction. And I can't say enough about it. I wish I could stay on the line and tell you 100 stories, examples of just miraculous turnarounds. You know, I'll just tell you one. You know, you're asking about what skill you need in order to do with Congress people, and you know, I haven't had that opportunity here in the United States. But when I first arrived here in San Jose and a parent knew that I was offering this connection practice, she came to me with her 14-year-old son who was, you know, floundering in school, being bullied and bullying, just getting negative reports from teachers. And so she brought him to me. She brought him to many therapists and hadn't been able to really get anywhere. Anyway, after just 3 sessions, you know, this young man's turned around completely, glowing reports from his teachers at the end of the year, completely different in the family, told his mom, now I have hope. You know, when you see these kind of things, you go, oh, that's so wonderful, and wow, let's get it to millions. You know, it just, it's the burning desire that I wake up with every morning is to find a way to get this to adults and children and youth, because that's how we'll change the world, is being able to do it, you know, able to do it ourselves. Not be perfect, you know, it's not about being saints, but when I say embody peace most of the time, we can do that. We can embody peace most of the time. I hope I didn't go on too long. I get on that soapbox and I don't want to stop.
I certainly don't think so. I'm inspired. I'm going to sign up for my next training. We may have time for one more question, if it's kind of a quick one, as far as keeping on track with what we promised folks. We have several hands up, but I'm going to go with, I think the next one in order was Caitlin, and I'm not sure about your last name, Uzi?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi. I am in D.C., and I've just started working for a nonprofit called Little Friends for Peace, and I am new to this whole world of peace building, and I am very anxious to get involved and to help create change and make an impact. So my question is, how would someone who is new like me get involved in the Peace Alliance?
Should I take that one?
Yes, that's not. Go for it.
Feel free to.
Dan, this is Geraldine.
Yeah.
Karen's going to go into that in a little bit. If everyone is willing to stay on for like a little longer, we normally end, you know, like on the hour to be, you know, sensitive to everyone's time. But if everyone's willing to stay on a little bit longer, we can take, you know, like another question, and then I would like to introduce Karen Johnson, who's been extremely, extremely valuable to our National Department of Peacebuilding campaign, to talk about some other things in terms of plugging in with the Department of Peace campaign. So is that all right? Do I have a consensus that we stay on a little longer?
So if you feel happy about staying an additional 5 minutes past the hour, go ahead and press 2 on your phone keypad. So if you feel like you're a little bit loose and 5 more minutes on the phone seems good, go ahead and press 2. Oh, I see a bunch of 2s lighting up the screen. Oh, my gosh. They're almost all, I think, 75 to 85% 2s. Okay. Geraldine. So,
well, Rita, are you willing to stay a little longer? I know that
I am. I'm happy
okay.
to. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right, wonderful. Then let's go ahead with a couple more questions, and then we'll go to Karen. All right?
Great. So, Caitlin, if you would just drop me a line, Dan, D-A-N, at peacealliance.org, and that goes for anybody who's interested in being more active with the Peace Alliance. You can find out about programs that we've been involved with and activities that may be available at peacealliance.org, and you can also email me directly. Is that good enough for now, Caitlin?
Yes, thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome. There was one other hand up, but I think he actually had to go. So I'm sorry. Let me put all these hands down from the poll. If you have a question now, please go ahead and press 1 on your keypad, even if you think you pressed it before. I think I got to everybody who had a question. Oh, there's one. It's Pat. Is that Pat?
It is Pat.
Great.
It is Pat, yes. My question of our speaker is, why don't you and some others compile the stories and put them in a book? Because stories really, really grab people. And I know you have a lot of them, and you could probably get some help from some of the trainers, but wouldn't that be a good idea to have them compiled in a book?
Yes, Pat. thank you. You
it's
know,
not
the
that
book
you have
that,
nothing to do.
Well, you know, the book that came out in 2015, my book Completely Connected, it's full of stories.
Okay. All
yeah,
right.
It's full of stories from my own work and from my trainer's work. But we are
right.
always collecting more. I'm sure, you know, at some point I'll put a second book out. But, yes, there is nothing like stories to communicate the real power of the work.
Right.
And,
right. Well, thanks for telling me what the book is about, because that answers my question for the time being.
Yes,
thank
actually,
you so much.
Completely Connected, the book, you know, as I said, it has stories. And my own story and how I, you know, more and more and more depended on this practice in my life unfolds as I talk about the whole picture. You know, I talk about the science and I talk about lots of different things, and then my own story is sort of woven through there. So it's a combination of story and methodology.
Thank you so much. This has been such a hopeful evening for me. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Pat. Thanks for asking.
So I see no more hands up right now. I'll give folks a last chance, I think, to raise your hand by pressing 1. Oh, there's one. Okay. And it is
okay.
Tony
and
Simpson.
Okay. And after this, let's go to Karen.
Last one? Okay. So last question. Go ahead, Tony.
Hi, Dan. How are you? Hello, everyone.
Hi, Tony. Good.
hi, Rita. I truly enjoyed your inspiring story. I have a question in reference to the ministry. Is it Ministry of Peace that was in Costa Rica? If I heard you correctly, you stated that it's no longer in operation.
No, that is not correct. I was saying is, the Ministry of Peace is in operation in Costa Rica, and you know it's going strong. And it's called the Ministerio de Justicia y Paz. What I was saying was that I had a national program, national Be Peace program, and it was called the Academy for Peace. And my hope was that the Academy for Peace would be integrated into the Ministry for Peace. However, I started that Academy for Peace through the Ministry of Education, because at the time I started it, there was no Ministry for Peace. So I started my Academy for Peace and teaching Be Peace with it through the Ministry of Education, and so they wanted me to continue through the Ministry of Education. So I had 8 solid years of support for my Academy for Peace, and then a new political party came in, and so I no longer could train the teachers. I couldn't get access to the teachers to train them. So there's no longer an Academy for Peace, a formal Academy for Peace in Costa Rica, but there is a Ministry for Peace. There's no longer an Academy for Peace that teaches Be Peace. That's what my foundation established, this Academy for Peace that was offering Be Peace in the school. So that has come to a close.
Gotcha. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for asking for clarity.
Okay, over to you, Geraldine.
Okay, I would like to introduce Karen Johnson, who has been with this ever since the beginning and was a former state coordinator for Illinois. And Karen has a few things that she would like to make us aware of in terms of being able to plug in for the Department of Peace campaign. And before she starts, I would just like to thank Rita so very, very much for taking the time to be with us. And I guess a highlight for me too, and I think probably all of us, was hearing from Lynn. That was a real special treat. So Karen, take it away.
Hey, thanks, Geraldine. Yes, I got involved in 2005 or 2000. Yeah, that's right, 2005. It seems like so long ago now. And have been in one or more roles ever since then. So I just want to give everybody a heads up on how to connect to the Department of Peace campaign. Dan told you how to connect with the overall national organization. And one way is to email nancy@peacealliance.org, and we'll get you on a reminder list on our Department of Peace activities. And most notably, August 15th is our next call. So we're going to use the Maestro sign-in again. We'll send you an email with the link. It's also up on the website, peacealliance.org, and the which is under Issues and Advocacy. So that's already there for you to sign up for the next call, and that will sign you up for all the calls through December. We're also, several of us are going to Washington, D.C. to lobby this year around International Day of Peace. So some of us are getting in on the 20th, right before the Day of Peace, and staying through the 25th or 26th. There's some other conferences going on, but we've tentatively designated September 22nd as our lobby day. We have a conference room at the Hotel Harrington so that we can meet together and go up on the hill, and we'll have more information as we've got time to finalize things, but so you can be for a segment of that time or the whole time. We have a small block of rooms if people want to share. If there's four people to a room, it's around $50 a person, so that's relatively affordable. And again, emailing nancy@peacealliance.org, we can give you more information personally on your email account. I think that should do it. We've got a couple other one-minute segment. So it's staying in contact that way. If you can join us in D.C., that would be great, and we'll give you more information as we develop it. Back to you, Geraldine.
Okay, sorry, I had to take myself back off of mute. Okay, and Deborah Potts is also a member of our National Department of Peace Building Committee. She might have a few quick things to add, and then we'll close out with Kendra with a closing quote. Deborah, did you have anything to add?
Yes. Actually, yes, I'm Deborah Puss, and I also have a Facebook group, Georgians for Department of Peace Building and Peace Building Infrastructures, and I'm a member of the National Department of Peace Building Committee. And the Department of Peace Building Act of 2015, and that's H.R. 1111, connects with the call to calm political discourse in this way. And that's Section 111 of the bill, the Intergovernmental Advisory Council on Peace will help with discourse between the federal, state, and local governments. And Section 112, the Federal Interagency Committee on Peace, will help with discourse between federal government agencies. And at this time, there's no language regarding discourse among members of Congress within the two chambers, House and Senate, between the two chambers, and between and among the parties. And I plan to suggest brief congressional discourse language to the bill draft, perhaps under Section 111, during the revision period this September, and it may or may not make it into the bill.
Thank you very much, Deborah. And now we'd like to go to Kendra Mon, who is also a longtime activist and a member of the National Department of Peace Camp Committee. Kendra, would you like to lead us for the closing quote?
Yes, I just wanted to say on behalf of the entire committee and all of us on the Peace Alliance how much we appreciate you being on this call, and also Rita Marie, of course. And actually, I chose as a closing quote one from Rita Marie Johnson. She told us about what we needed to do to be the peace ourselves and to learn the skills of peace building. And she also said this: creating a countrywide model of peace is possibly the most powerful means for inspiring humanity to put an end to violence.
Oh, that is perfect. Thank you so much, Kendra. And thank you to everyone who joined us for the call. And I don't think anyone mentioned that the Peace Alliance website is www.peacealliance.org. There you'll find a wealth of information. You can keep up with our activities through Movers and the Shakers also. And also, you'll be able to see the Be the Movement campaign that contains the five cornerstones of peace that we're working for that fit into the actual legislation for the Department of Peace. And so with that, I will say thank you to everyone and good night.
Oh, Geraldine?
Yes?
Is everybody still here? I wonder, Judy Kimmel, did you have something else that you wanted to say about the Call to Calm series? With the
people? Well, if people are still on, and it was such a lovely passage that Kendra shared. But I did want to just say that we're going to continue at the national level having these conversations through the summer. So we definitely welcome everybody to join in. And the other thing I wanted to do most particularly was to thank Rita Marie Johnson for her work and the wonderful DOP committee, Department of Peace committee, who put on this call today, and their hard work over the many, many, many years that we've had the opportunity to work on a U.S. Department of Peace or U.S. Department of Peace building. That's all. I really appreciate everybody's hard work, and thanks.
I am so sorry not being able to see actually everyone who was on the call, Judy.
That's okay. No problem. I'm
okay.
Thrilled. It was a wonderful call. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, everybody.
Good night.
I've opened
Thank
up everybody's
you.
Mic if you all want to say good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.